Hey, friend, we're packing up the brand new True Girl Gratitude Box, and I do not want your daughter to miss it. Inside, you're going to find those daily devos for November and December to help her discover gratitude and joy. A mom-daughter watercolor date with all the supplies you need, and drumroll, please, the return of Stanley the Acorn. He is our most beloved True Girl plush. Plus, you're going to get memory cards, a Stanley sticker, a coloring meditation page, and more. Subscribe today at mytruegirl.com and we will ship that box straight to your door.
Welcome to the True Girl Momcast, where we'll learn a lot, laugh a little, and have biblical conversation about raising daughters because motherhood is hard. But guess what? You are not alone. I'm Shani McKenzie, and I'll be joined by my friend Dana Gresh.
Shani, 40% of girls. 40%. Did you get that number?
I got the number.
40% of girls start their period for the first time without ever having heard about it from their parents.
That's a large percentage.
Yeah. And imagine how scary that would be.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I have something that's even scarier. When your teen girl's exposed to social media and period tracking apps, do you know those? There's like all those period tracking apps.
Yeah.
There are some scary messages on them that are far from neutral. And I am going to spill the tea, as they say,
yes,
on that today.
Please, because
every mom needs to know what they're seeing.
Yes.
In those apps.
Because I have some teen girls and they have periods and I want to know about these apps. Okay. Today, we're here to help you rewrite the script so you can punctuate your daughter's period with biblical truth and confidence.
Yeah, we're actually pulling from a book by Rachel Jones. I love this book. Mm-hmm. It's titled A Brief Theology of Periods. I think it is, we just might read this thing out loud. It's that good.
Hey, bring it. We're doling out some hope for perimenopause. Mm. Moms, we gotcha. Over half of women in the 30 to 35 age bracket have reported moderate to severe perimenopause symptoms. Dana?
Yeah, and that's going to increase to 64% for women age 36 to 40. So how do you know if you are among them? Is it perimenopause?
Oh,
or are you losing your mind? Or a little bit of both?
No.
We got a quiz for you.
Oh, somebody pass me the box of chocolates.
Yes, we're going to need it today. All right. So we're just going to talk today. No scripture snack, but we're going to infuse what we say with lots of biblical truth, lots of godly biblical direction.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's start with this, Dana. What did you see that terrified you on TikTok and in those period tracking apps?
Okay, so here's the deal. Some people know, we've been putting it out there a little bit, not a lot, that we're working on a new Bible app for teen girls. It's called Wonder, debuting January. We're going to get those girls into God's Word. And to learn about how these apps need to look, I was looking at competing apps for that age group, for teenagers. And so many of them are period tracking apps. Those are some of the top selling, top downloaded apps for teen girls. One of them that I was in, I just joined and said, hey, you know, I'm going to be a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
They asked the user, what can we help you do? And Shani, I'm going to pull up the screenshot on my phone because you will not believe this unless... Yeah, it should. I feel like this is one of those things that if I don't show it to you. So the app asked me, what do you want help with? These are the options. Sync my sex life with my cycle. Now, I told this app I was 15 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Make masturbation work for me.
Wait, hold on.
Look, it's right there.
Dana.
Spot signs of endometriosis or PCOS or PMDD. Decode my discharge. Okay, that'd be a good thing to have. Manage symptoms and moods. Also very good for a teen girl to have. Look at the last one. You read it.
Learn how to orgasm. This is a period tracking app?
Yes, and I put my age in, 15. Well, I put a birth date in.
That I'm literally like in shock right now because I have one of those.
I joined about four of them. There was only one that was like this.
But how many girls are on that that are exposed to this?
My daughter's cycle was off. Yeah. My daughters are all in their 30s, yes. Three. And she wasn't sure how many days it was supposed to be. I was like, and you're how old? So I'm not against period tracking apps per se. I am against that kind of opportunity in a period tracking app when I have stated that my age is
15.
I think it was 15. It was teen-ish. It was in that middle of my high school years-ish that I gave the date.
That is bananas. I can't.
You're in shock.
Okay, so that's what you saw on the app.
Yeah.
What did you see on TikTok?
Earth bleeding.
I'm sorry. Say again.
Okay, so not to be crass, but the best way to explain this is to just say that earth bleeding is a very trendy thing right now where the women take their blood and return it to the earth. Sometimes they will use rags and squeeze their
Dana, people have too much time on their hands right now.
Into water.
What's going on?
And then they pour the water on there. Some women will just sit on the earth and bleed into the earth. Here's the thing. It's a pagan practice. It's attached to the new age. It's attached to witchcraft circles. But like it's being presented on TikTok as this really, I don't know, responsible earthly steward like thing to do.
Yes. Giving back to the environment, doing right by.
Yes.
It's green. is what they're trying to say.
Being green. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What I've noticed in even like movies and television shows, there's like that, you know, a lot of them now are geared towards these witchcrafty type circles and these
normalizing it.
Like these teenage girls are creating like whole shows, like series about.
And think about how many things that the world loves right now that are really well done, like Harry Potter and Wicked, that sort of just take our guard down about the fact that witchcraft in scripture is an abomination.
Wow.
Yeah.
Earth bleeding.
Okay, but don't worry. Okay. We're going to talk about hope today.
Give us the hope,
We're through all the scary stuff. We're going to talk about real hope, how God provides wisdom for us as moms to navigate these and so many other things. These are not a surprise to God.
Amen.
And I have got this book here, A Brief Theology of Periods by Rachel Jones. Let me read something. Mm-hmm. Here's what Rachel writes. And this is such a good book. It just takes you through the whole concept of the beauty and the importance of blood in scripture and what that might mean in the context of our bodies. And I mean, it's just great. She writes, let's be honest. Your pastor probably won't be preaching about periods anytime soon.
No.
This is true. We are hardly talking about it today. I'm like, what did we just say? What did we just record? Okay, then she goes on, but there are plenty of other people who will. Cue TikTok, cue the period tracking apps, all right? Then she writes, the last few years have seen an increasing number of voices talking about periods in our culture. Here's the thing. Nothing we read or watch or listen to is ideologically neutral. It's all subtly or not so subtly telling us how to think and how to act. So, if we're not proactive about thinking Christianly about a subject, then we'll just end up having our thinking shaped by what the world tells us.
Wow. So whether it's periods or anything else, we're subject to that. Something that seemingly so kind of cut and dry, right? You know, we know why periods come. We know all that.
But we think we know.
We think we know. It can be taken. And used for...
You know, one of the things Rachel writes about, and this is I'm going to probably really not say this as well as she could or would, but when you think about the fact that blood had to be shed for our eternal life to be brought forth, for us to be born again. And in females, blood has to be shed for our physical life to be brought forth. There really is a spiritual picture. The whole physical world is an object lesson, right? We read that in Romans 1:20.
Yes.
That we see God's power and character in creation. The heavens declare his glory. Like everything he's created is to teach us. And our periods do that too. So our daughters, we need for them not to look at it with dread.
With dread, I think it also points to sacrifice. Lord, we are
Sacrifice.
Bodies, living sacrifice
and laying our body down.
Oh my goodness, yes. And for some, that is very, very real, like physically, even what they, yeah, what they go through.
And it goes beyond just like, you and I just attended the True Woman Conference about a month ago or so. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Kevin DeYoung talked about the themes that run through scripture.
Yes.
And I can't remember what theme he was on. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was blood. It probably was the theme of blood. He was blood one of the themes?
Yeah, I think blood was one of the themes.
And he said, you know, women tend to look at the, I should say, as a man, he walked, he tread very carefully on this subject. He is very
gentle.
He's a
man with how many children?
Like, I don't know, seven,
they have 10, like 7 kids, 50. 7 to 10 children. It's a few.
But he said, you know, we look at Genesis 3 and, and it says, in pain you will bring forth children. Yeah. And we think, you know, it's, there's this
talking about the childbirth.
Childbirth and everything. But he said, maybe it's not just the childbirth, but it's the pain of, and the struggle of parenting. The whole thing.
Yeah.
So there, I think there's a lot we haven't learned. I have never thought of that before. Anyway, periods today. We're going there.
Oh, Lord. So, okay. Periods. And Dana, I'm actually, when we're done here, I'm going to be doing some deep diving, because I mean, if nothing else, this kind of puts us on alert as moms. Mm-hmm. But moms, then for us, because some of you might be in the stage that Dana was just talking about as well, the perimenopause stage, and really kind of pinpointing what that is. I think these last few years, I've heard the most about perimenopause than I've ever heard.
Because women are mad.
Like, I never heard about this when I was in my 20s and 30s, and now I'm in my 40s, and I know, like, I'm in that stage right now.
Well, and I think a lot of women have struggled through being diagnosed with depression or anxiety or some kind of mental illness, when in fact, the meds didn't help, and they found out,
it's
perimenopause. My hormones are off.
There it is.
And then they're able to fix it.
Yeah.
So you got to know.
You do have to know and not feel like you're going crazy. So I'm glad the conversation has started about it. Mm-hmm. So friend, we don't want you to feel like you're going crazy, okay? Mm-hmm. We are here. Mm-hmm. And we've got a little quiz for you just so you can kind of gauge if this is you. No pencils, there's no grading, I promise. It's just a chance to see if your body might be whispering or maybe shouting for some of us, praise the Lord, that you're in perimenopause. And it is a natural thing that happens to your body. So, you know, but we want you to be prepared, okay? So here we go. Ready? Give yourself 1 point for every yes. Dana, hit us with the questions.
Question one. Uh-huh. Are your periods showing up like that friend who's always late? Don't think of her name right now. Mm. I know you have one. Mm. Or sometimes doesn't show up at all. Says a sign. You might be in perimenopause.
Well, mine is a no for this one, but I have a lot of friends where they're like, it didn't even come.
It's hormones.
So that's a sign. All right. Question two, do you suddenly feel like you're in a sauna while everyone else is reaching for a blanket? Now, yes, indeedy.
Have you seen?
I have thrown myself. I don't get them a lot, but I know one night I looked at Ephraim and I was like, we gotta turn the fan on. I was like, why? Everybody get from under the blanket. He was like, everybody, it's just you and I. And he was like, it feels like there's 6 million people
in here. You start asking your husband all the time, is it hot in here?
Is it hot?
Did you see that social media? It's a beautiful black woman. Her head is shaved.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes. And the steam is coming
off her head at an athletic event.
It's true. And she just was eating her food. I'm telling you, because like, she was like, it's what happens. Course. It's par for the course.
Okay.
So if you answered yes to that one, give yourself a point. Yep.
Question three. Is intimacy starting to feel less like fireworks?
Oh, Lordy.
And more like friction?
Oh, bless your heart.
Ouch.
Ouch. Mark whichever one that is, ladies. Oh, God bless you. Question four. Do you wake up at 2 a.m., stare at the ceiling, and seriously consider starting a side hustle in another time zone with all the extra hours in your night?
Yeah.
And now, I've never struggled with sleep, Dana, and I find myself getting up and sometimes not being able to go to bed. And I was like, oh, I just have too much in my brain. Like, what's going on? Like,
it's
but
hormones.
No, I realized that something else is going on here.
It is so maddening. Yes. Yes. When it happened to me, I was like, the more you don't sleep, the more tired you get. And listen to me, sometimes you're just feeling crazy because you're tired.
That's it.
But the hormones are what is causing you not to sleep.
Right.
Right?
It's a vicious cycle.
Okay. Question five. Has your libido gone missing?
Oh, no.
If you don't know what that word is, look it up. I'm not going to tell you. And you're not sure whether to file a police report or just let it go. It's go that it. Far gone. You're like, oh, whatever.
Your husband's probably like, go find it, baby. Please go find
Get
it.
Get the police in here.
Get them in here. Question 6, brain fog. Do you walk into a room and forget if you came for your phone, your keys, or your sanity? Oh, Lord. It's like, you remember they used to call it like preggy brain when you're pregnant?
Yeah. It's like that. Like, it's like that.
When the kids get older, does it come back? And I was like, mm-hmm. No, this is, yeah.
Yep.
Oh.
Question 7, do you sometimes feel your heart racing for no reason? Mm. Besides the fact that you're alive and apparently 40. I mean,
right.
That's the reason.
That's a thing, right?
Yeah. So I've never had that one. But some people do. They feel their heart, it feels like anxiety.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. a pulse racing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And finally, do you know every bathroom in town by heart and you plan out your day to make sure you're near one? You wish they gave out loyalty points for visiting.
This is why I don't drink a whole lot of water.
Yeah.
Dana. Okay, no, let me stop. Water's great.
I was with a girlfriend the other night at the theater, and she came back and she gave two bags of popcorn and one water and gave me the water. I was like, don't you want a water? She goes, oh, no. I can't drink while I'm here.
It's going to be bad. I'm going to miss everything. I'm just not going to be able to participate. Well, if you answered yes to several of these, congratulations. Mm-hmm. You don't win a prize, though. But you might just be in perimenopause.
Yeah. And I think that's good to know, because perimenopause doesn't get to dictate how we live. Mm-hmm. I have two things I want to say about this before we talk about your daughter in periods. One mm-hmm. is, I've mentioned it, be careful with new mental health diagnoses during this phase of life. Mm-hmm. Perimenopause is so often misdiagnosed. That mm-hmm. is why women are sounding an alarm right now, yeah. because they have been misdiagnosed mm-hmm. with depression, anxiety, ADHD, because those hormonal fluctuations can cause similar symptoms.
Yes.
The brain fog, the mood swings, the anxiety, the sleep disturbances. Mm-hmm. And that, if you get the diagnosis wrong, it leads to inappropriate treatments like mm-hmm. antidepressants when the root cause is hormonal imbalance. So mm-hmm. you might just find that adding antidepressants in that case could actually make things more frustrating.
Yeah.
You might find yourself more tired and toned down by the antidepressant, mm-hmm. but then you're just more tired.
Yes.
But it's not fixed. So you don't want to delay the effective care that you need, like natural supplements. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a little bit controversial. I haven't tried it, but I have girlfriends who say that is their salvation. Mm-hmm. Hormone replacement therapy can be an option. I do some natural
yes.
hormone replacement therapy.
I know a lot of people do natural.
And probiotics mm-hmm. changed my life.
And that works. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It took me like 3 or 4 different products to find the one mm-hmm. that was like, hallelujah, I wanted to sing the doxology.
Right. And that's the other thing. You have to find what works for you, because they're pills that have everything in one, you know, and I've heard that they've worked for people. And sometimes you might, you know, need to supplement with something else.
Mine's all natural. Haven't done that hormone replacement therapy. What have you heard about?
There's a pill that I see advertised all the time. I don't know the name, and I guess we wouldn't say it anyway, because
you got to find what works for you and ask your doctor.
But there's one doctors. That has it all.
Shani's not a doctor.
I am not a doctor, but I do know, like, for...
That would be cool, though, Dr. Shani McKenzie.
Oh, God bless you.
That sounds good.
Oh, let's not do that. Mm-hmm. But for, like, the hot flashes and stuff, I've known people to do wild yam. A friend of ours was doing wild yam, and that's a, you know, a natural supplement. But, and even, listen, I speak to my mom and see what she used, you know, like, and... A lot of natural herbs and things like that, and teas, and you know, so find what works. Check with your practitioner, you know, your medical practitioner, and see if they have any advice. But advocate for yourself, ladies, you know,
and do the natural stuff first.
Yes,
because you're actually fixing the root then.
Exactly. And my doctor, he has a lot of like natural remedies, and he's not mm-hmm. like a homeopathic doctor or anything, but he's like, hey, you can do, you know, these things. These fruits and veggies have these types of properties and stuff like that. Yep. So
walking has been really helpful
for
me.
Good too.
Nobody told me that perimenopause and menopause comes with joint pain.
Oh, the cortisol thing.
That hurts
Dana?
So bad. I thought my bones were falling apart.
Right.
I was like, my dad has not great bones.
Yeah.
He's obviously not a woman. And so I thought, oh, I've got my dad's bones and it's kicking in. But the anxiety that came with the hormonal imbalance caused me to start walking, because mm-hmm. I thought, I think walking is really good for anxiety. I'm going to walk and memorize scripture. That's how the Holy Girl walk I did started.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that my bones stopped hurting.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is this?
Yeah.
This is some wonderful
moving
stuff.
Moving the joints and getting going.
And I found that when you walk, it's like a pump that the synovial fluid in your joints gets released. Synovial fluid is like medicine for our joints.
Our bodies are actually
amazing.
Our
bodies are amazing. So amazing.
Yeah. I mean, God did that.
I mean, and our bodies, I'm going to say it. The female body is so much more amazing than the male body. Don't turn us
off,
Chris.
Sorry, guys. We love
you, Chris. Do not turn us off, Chris. Okay.
We're complex, but not as complex as we are.
We make babies.
Yeah.
Mm. What? Okay. So this is the other thing I want to say.
Yeah.
You are not without help.
Praise the Lord.
I hear so many women speak like victims when they get into this stage of life.
Yeah.
And we are victors in Christ in everything.
In everything.
And it includes this.
Oh, yes.
It includes this. As with everything else in life, Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, not the walking, not the hormone replacement therapy, not the supplements, not the doctors. He is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And that includes any kind of trouble we're in.
Amen.
And so you have help with Christ. And I just, when I started walking, I wasn't just walking.
Mm-hmm.
I was soaking my spirit in Psalm 91, a scripture, because the nighttime was hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was probably for me at my age more menopause than perimenopause. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between menopause and perimenopause?
I think menopause is just when it stops.
Well,
when it's done. I don't know.
That's complicated for me
because
I had an ablation, so I haven't cycled since I was in my 30s.
Oh God, okay.
So I have no idea.
That's a little different.
What is this?
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. Yeah, that's something that I should know.
I literally
but
just
didn't
asked
need
this
to know.
Question a few months ago because I was like, huh?
Yeah.
How do I know? Well, I know. Also, speaking of this, like making sure that we realize God is our help through this. Our good friend Eileen, she said she prayed like God. You know, she went through a lot even having her son, you know. And so she was like, God, menopause is coming. And I don't want these hot flashes. And
he blessed
her. His graciousness. Like, she didn't have them.
Yeah.
She said she really didn't have
them. She says,
like,
I paid all
flashes.
The hormone duties before babies.
You don't know. That could be your story. You know, he might do it like that. He might not. But you pray.
You pray
and ask God, you know.
Like, yeah. And anything that makes you dependent on God is a gift, right?
Absolutely.
So for me,
all
this hormone stuff drew me closer to Christ because I started walking and meditating on scripture and it's been a life changer. Okay, let's turn our conversation to our daughters.
Yes. So we have some common questions and some good data. We're your research assistants today. I'm going to partner with Dana Gresh, social researcher
Let
of the year.
Let me say, though, why we decided to talk about perimenopause first.
Mm-hmm.
If we aren't walking through this well, how can we expect our daughters to?
Right.
Because we don't want them nasty around the house during that time of the month. Like they have, PMS is not an excuse to sin.
Right. Absolutely.
And it's not for us either.
Yeah, it's the truth.
So that's why we wanted to talk about that. But
it's the truth.
So you got data.
Yeah. So number one, this is a big question we always get. When should you talk to your daughter about her period?
Yeah, you don't want her to be in that 40% that.
Please talk to your daughters.
Can you
Let's
imagine?
Let's start by saying, please talk to them about their periods.
Can you imagine?
Because someone
will. You think you're dying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's blood in my underwear.
Absolutely.
I am in sixth grade. It's recess. And I'm dying.
Absolutely. My mom talked to me about mine, and I still went and hid. Like, I was like, because I went downstairs to tell her, and my dad was in the room. So I was like, He was like, what's wrong? Why'd you come to? I was like, I'm going back upstairs. You know?
Yeah.
But she had spoken to me about it. Like, your daughter's first period is the onset of puberty, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to tell her to watch for the first sign of puberty, which is 2 years before you'll start to see the buds. Now, traditionally, of course, you know.
Shani, don't do that with your hands when you
sorry.
Say that. Like,
they can't see me.
You're
I guess we know where those are. So, but, you know, so when the breast buds start, that's usually a sign that in the next couple of years she'll receive it. Medical journals say that the average girl experiences the first sign of breast buds at 10.7 years.
0.7.
10 years, 7 months, but maybe It could be before that. Mm-hmm. I know one of my daughters got it around 10. One daughter got it at 11. I got mine at 11. Mm-hmm. But I've seen girls who've gotten them at 9, you know, and some haven't gotten them till 15. But
it's been younger and younger. There's something affecting it.
Yes.
They don't.
I would venture to say the hormones in the foods.
They say hormones in the foods. They say maybe some of it could be actually content, more sexualized content being introduced. Yes.
There's
a lot of factors. I think the hormones in the food is probably a big one.
Yeah. My friend's daughter got hers at 9 and the doctor said, take out any make your meats, chicken, all that hormone free, milk hormone free. She did. And it stopped. And then come back until she was like 11. But here's something interesting, okay? Mm-hmm. Generally, the darker the girl's skin and hair, the earlier she'll start. So if you are someone of a dark-complected culture or, you know, a brunette, not a blonde, you may start sooner. And so that's another sign. But just
walk
her through that.
That's so interesting.
I have no idea. I've heard that too.
I don't think they know either.
Right.
Whoever they are.
It just seems
they didn't.
The researchers out of research land.
Well, here's a good rule of thumb. Tell her about her period between her 8th and 10th birthday. You know? Yeah. And the average age really is 12.7 years. Again, 12 to 13. It's probably going to be the first time. Mm-hmm. That deviates by as much as a year and a half. But I've had moms write to True Girl and say their daughter was much younger than that. So be prepared to talk to her no later than age 9. But this conversation really is a great way to take advantage of spending time with your daughter. Consider it like this is not something she can talk to her dad about in this way. It's a way you can be really close. So let me tell you a couple ways that you can make it easier to talk to her. One is have your own language.
What do you mean?
Well, Lexi and I called it Happy Week.
Oh, I love it. Put a spin on it.
We're like, Happy Week is coming. Yay. Happy Week is here. It's Happy Week. Aww. Make it your own.
Yeah.
And also, I think the other thing is just tell her, although we don't want her to dread her period.
Right.
We also don't want her to feel like she has to be some martyr.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, this doesn't bother me at all. It hurts.
Yeah.
Be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, have your own language and be honest about cramps. Be honest about your mood changes. Be honest about this is hard. But then again, go back to what we were talking about before. There's purpose in everything God has designed, including this. Let's figure out what it is. Right. Let's go on a journey together. We're going to learn. Maybe we're going to read Rachel's book.
Yeah. I like that. I give one of my daughters, she craves chocolate around that time. I just preemptively give her some dark chocolate. And when I know it's coming, I'm like, here we go, boo. Just a little extra treat for the week. Okay, question 2. What's the best way to tell her about her period?
Okay. I'd love to know how you did it, Shani, but I used pictures.
Oh. Pictures
are great. I got pictures of babies in the womb. And I said, look at this. Isn't this amazing?
Yeah.
This baby, we got a camera in this womb and we took a picture of this amazing baby sucking this thumb or videos or ultrasounds. Celebrate the beauty of life. Don't just be like, oh, you're gonna bleed every month.
Right. Yeah.
Celebrate the purpose of it.
Sorry, kid.
And I think a lot of moms start with the basic functions of periods, but they forget to talk about why we have them. And it's God's great sign that he's preparing you, daughter, to be a mom one day. And we just have this wonderful opportunity to use our daughter's entrance into womanhood as this value formation tool.
Yeah.
On the wonder of being a mom. I mean, there's nothing better in the whole world. No better job, no better experience than being a mom. So I think it's a really critical transition.
Yeah.
And I also think that the feminine quality of being a mom is under attack in so many ways, from so many directions, from gender confusion, from abortion, from so many places where this isn't being valued as beautiful and wondrous.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do remember there was a young girl who wrote to us who she couldn't, they told her she couldn't have children, but she was still kind of going to go through the process and
the process of having a period.
And she wrote to us because we were doing the It's Great to Be a Girl study, because we're not just talking about periods and how, like, you know, like they have purpose in that, but her just being able to see the wonder of how God created our bodies, even though she wouldn't be able to physically bear children.
Yeah.
She said that used to make her feel like she was less than. Mm. But then she was able to see how beautiful it was that God even created that. And she was still a woman, a young lady.
Exactly.
And so I think that it once again points back to the wonder of his creation.
Yeah.
Because some women don't bear children, or they can't. But
you're still fully
just
woman.
Just to know you're still fully woman, and God has created this process in you, and it has purpose.
Miraculous.
And you are miraculous.
Yeah.
And so, like,
that's a good point. We should put a link to It's Great to Be a Girl, book in the show notes. We'll do that.
I used a book very similar to It's Great to Be a Girl. I didn't have It's Great to Be a Girl yet when Carissa was having yours, but with Soraya, I used it. But, a year before maybe she got hers.
Yeah.
We talked about it and talked about what it was going to look like, you know, when it came. And then when it came, I ran to the bathroom because I was freaked out. And she was like, "Hey, Mom, I think it's here. This is, remember we talked?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Uh-huh." So I was like, "Ava." But that was just me as a mom, like, "My baby." So yes, definitely prepare, you know.
And celebrate it. Read the scriptures. Psalm 139, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. This is a great time to remember that.
Yes.
God did not make anything by mistake, including our reproductive systems.
Absolutely.
Okay. How do you supply her with what she needs? Question 3.
I love this. Dana, periods are being talked about all the time now, and they have so many cool little period baskets and these little period kits and these little the little dots. Have you seen those? It shows you like how to teach your daughter how to use a pad, or, you know, like, and you use red dots. And it's so, I don't know, it's so cool. It's making it, you know, like a cool thing, and taking that weird sting and, you know, the stigma that's been placed on it away. So plan some other daughter activities. Give her a basket. Purchase a cute basket. Fill it with some stuff like bras and mini pads and regular pads and pain pills that are teen formula, because they have those as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little body spray, you know, books, chocolate, you know. The menstrual heat wraps, those things are great. My girls get cramps, and those things are great.
They work.
And like something welcoming her, like it's a rite of passage almost, right?
Yeah. I love that. Cool. I made baskets for both my girls, and they just thought it was great. You might also consider a little like zippered pouch if your daughter goes to school every day. Like, make sure her locker or her desk has something in that she doesn't have to make a big deal about it, but she could slip away with a little tiny pack of whatever she needs. But
so here's an interesting fact. When my oldest was in school, when we were in Virginia, they could not bring canvas or colored bags.
Oh, so it had pouches, to be clear.
It had to be clear.
Oh.
So
what were they thinking?
I know. I was like, that's so embarrassing. And she was like the only one in her fifth grade class that had it. So she was like, "Mom, how do I?
Yeah.
And so we asked if she could have like a little pack, and like it fits in her pocket. You know, she was able to do that. So we just made sure she had things with pockets in them, pockets.
Wow.
But like, that's so crazy.
That is crazy. So if your school has a policy like
you got to have a little workaround.
Yeah.
But along with that basket, give a mini lesson on how to use everything. All the packages have directions and stuff, but if anyone should happen to twirl a tampon or stick a pad to their forehead, just take a deep breath and laugh. I
when
had
you're
to show my
12,
daughter literally.
Gotta, yes.
Boop. And then my oldest daughter showed her sister.
Aww.
That was actually probably just one of the sweetest times, because I was like, and she went in and she was like, "Okay, this just means you're entering womanhood.
Yeah.
Here, and I'll show you how to use it." And I was like, so I just stood at the door and watched her do her thing. It's like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah. And Mom, you have to decide when's the right time to use any of these, like when you have the tampon conversation or the pad, you know, some people are no to one thing or the other, or the cup or what have you, but just educate her and walk her through. Now, Dana, does she need a tracking app, one of those period tracking
apps? Question number 4.
That's question number 4.
That would be a big hard no for me.
Okay.
And if your daughter has one right now, don't feel guilty about that, but you probably should sit down with her and just see what's on there. In addition to some of the concerns I addressed earlier, some of the apps have pro abortion, pro LGBTQ type language.
Right, right.
And it's very subtle. Mm-hmm. And I just, mm-hmm. She doesn't need confusion in that area. The mm-hmm. anything she believes about the value of life mm-hmm. and her gender needs to come from God's word and from mom.
Yep.
So I just would be really careful to not expose her to something that has a worldview that contradicts scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also say they sell and collect highly sensitive health data.
Oh, that, yeah.
Like, so some people are really uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it opens them up to the ads
yeah.
for abortion services, for sex toys, mm-hmm. for adult products.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it could expose them to long-term privacy risks. So, I mean, this is the far end of the spectrum, obviously, yeah, what I'm saying here. And the bigger thing, though, is a lot of those apps have chat forums where they can get distorted advice from peers or strangers. Or, you know, anytime you're online or in an app,
yeah,
there's potential for predators.
You're susceptible to
I joined this one app and said I was a 15-year-old girl, which I hope somebody calls the police on me on that one.
It says my actual name,
but I put the wrong birth year in.
Mm-mm.
So for a Christian mom, the danger is clear. Instead of learning about her body and God's design from you, your daughter might be being discipled by an app with values that are far from biblical. So think about it hard.
Yes, mom. Think about it and have those conversations.
Yep.
Have those conversations. This is good, Dana.
Mm-hmm. This was a good conversation.
Yeah.
I'm proud of this episode. And also, I think we made it our engineer.
He's very uncomfortable. You think
he's
so?
He's very uncomfortable.
Now, he has a wife he's and laughing. Three girls. He's like, oh.
He's in it.
The theology of periods is alive and well in my house.
He knows that. Yeah.
he just said
into our ears, I'm still trying to figure out if I'm perimenopause.
Perimanopause. Maybe that's what it is.
There is manopause.
There is.
They never talk about that.
These men.
But this is not an episode about that, friends.
Get some education on that.
You have them listen to a podcast that can help them.
The Dadcast.
We love you, Mom. Good luck out there.
Next time on the True Girl Momcast, an honest conversation about race and grace.
And hey, before you go, a reminder to join me on November 1st for Holy Girl Walk Season 4. It's a 16-day journey into forgiveness and freedom. Together, we're going to memorize Psalm 130, one verse at a time, and walk each day as we let God's word sink deep into our hearts. Now, I believe shame is one of the greatest epidemics in the church today, but Psalm 130 is this powerful weapon to fight it. And that's why I want to send you a special kit. My Forgiven and Free 16-Day Bible Memory Guide to Psalm 130 includes a set of memory cards and that memory guide, even the world's best water tumbler to keep you hydrated on your walk. So it's my thank you when you become a True Girl Freedom Partner, someone who gives $30 a month, prays with us, and helps spread the word about raising girls to be true girls. Learn more in the transcript in today's program.